Now you are all here, giving your all to practice. What happiness. How fortunate, how blessed you are to be here, doing this sesshin, doing this practice, and nothing but this practice. Everything is given to you. You're openly receiving everything. Everything is given, everything received. And what's more, you aren't just borrowing this. This practice that you're doing, well, you're simply being your own true self. Who is the happiest person in this world? You could very likely, without hesitation, answer with a nod. You are forever blessed. Nothing is held back. For some of you here who do not speak Japanese, the words that I'm speaking sound like gobbledygook, but you will soon have a translation. So even in this way, we are well taken care of. Now, why did Shakyamuni Buddha appear in this world? What was his purpose? As there are people in this world who are able to live calm, trouble-free, happy lives. But even for such persons, will there always be serenity? Will there always be this calm happiness? Not likely. Worry, anxiety, trouble may take so many forms, wear so many faces. Suffering can leap out at you in so many ways. There are those few who insist that they do not suffer, they are not troubled. But is that lack of pain for real? While you may insist that all is well, no matter what comes up, is your mind truly at peace? If you look at yourself honestly, I think that you will find that you do indeed have some kind of anxieties. Just yesterday I heard from someone similar to one that I've just been just describing. Her life has been so smooth, and she's been so joyful in her life. It was a perfect example, her life, of heaven, of the heavenly realm. She herself is a person who, to whom many people come and when they have problems. But yesterday she was in tears, telling me how she can't even sleep because she's so upset. Looking at her, I couldn't help but feel deep, deep sympathy. She's the mother of three sons, and each of whom has always been and so kind and considerate and bright. She's been close to them all. Each is accomplished in his field. They're all doctors or university professors. They all did well in their studies and in their respective jobs. And while she had no daughters, she is blessed with three daughters-in-laws and whom she really likes and gets on well with, all warm and kind and considerate people. And all the families, the various families, seem to be so content with their lives. This woman has been living a life that others might envy. She herself can see that. That she's been so blessed. As I said, people bring their problems to her and rely on her, and she's able to make people feel happy and at peace. Her life was a perfect example of heaven, a heavenly realm, when suddenly, without explanation, without reason or excuse, without so much as a farewell note, her oldest son has just taken off. Just disappeared. He himself has been in a position where he's often helping others. So this has thrown her into a state of being really upset. No matter how she thinks about it or how she looks at it, it just seems to be an insurmountable problem. She can't figure out what's going on. It makes no sense to her. So her whole life is now suddenly engulfed in anguish and worry. From heaven, she's fallen straight to the bottomless suffering of hell. I tried to help her feel better. I searched for skillful means, but I could not reach through her anguish. The love of a parent for his or her child is so strong. There's no separating a parent from a child. We all take on many worries of and from those that we're really close to, but especially a parent for a child. She begged me to help her see through her pain, and I tried. I always want to try to help people in whatever way I can, using whatever means I can to help them to feel even a little bit that everything is all right, to help them to realize their prayers. Well, I'm talking now about using skillful means in order to be of use to others. But to get back to the point I was making at first, even those people whose circumstances are truly blessed, who seem to have it all, for whom things just come to these people, even though the people are blessed and joyous, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have, or you necessarily have, true peace of mind. Not deeply, not really. So ask yourself, are you really going to be all right, no matter what? When you come into the front gate here at this temple, if you turn to the right, you see many gravestones piled high, high like a mountain. People usually call them the graves of people who have no relations. Of course, that expression is erroneous because there isn't a single soul, not a single person, who is without relations. We are so incredibly related in every way. Well, anyway, it could more specifically be called the stupa to all souls, or more simply, Great Buddha Stupa. Everyone who comes to pray to their ancestors are urged to first bow to the Great Buddha Stupa. There's a rather large stone before the graves upon which these words are carved. We were once just as you are now. We, upon whose graves you now gaze, we're truly just exactly like you, health, happily enjoying our lives. The stone must be speaking now to a contented-looking young couple arriving to pay tribute to their ancestors. We were once as you are now. Good, good. But there is a second line, and it reads, you will become just as we are now. Yes, now you are alive with no complaints about that. But before you know it, you will be here like me. And how is that? I just talked to you about the stupa to all souls. There are many, many stones there, aren't there? You will one day be just as we are now. There are various trends these days, one which tends toward not erecting a gravesite for the deceased. There are many different customs for dealing with those who've passed away. But putting that aside, the fact remains, everyone passes on. impermanence is swift. No matter how blessed you may feel in your present circumstances, how easygoing, how secure and pleased you are, you cannot hang on to that world. It will be jerked out from under you. Impermanence is swift. The lining of your present life is death. The problem of life and death is no one else's problem. It is yours to contend with. And then there are the myriad desires. You can't get what you want. It never seems quite right, never enough. Dissatisfaction, frustration, and discontent constantly seem to surface. There are so very, very many people who worry and stew and fret over what would seem to be no problem at all. Liberation from suffering. The more that you know of this world, the more you see it to be a giant exhibition of suffering. Everywhere you look, from the front, back, sides, top, from the four, the eight, the ten directions, you see examples, plenty of examples of misery, don't you? Before Shakyamuni, Buddha-to-be, ever left home, he was keenly, acutely aware of suffering. The suffering of all beings became his very own anguish. He sought somehow, some way, to find salvation from pain. He left home in order to find liberation from suffering. He let go of everything, his father, the mother who had raised him, his dear wife, and the darling son whom he had named Raghura. Leaving everything. This world is suffering. What about you? Have you no pain, no suffering, no worries, no fears? If you honestly think you can answer, hey, not me, I can meet it as it comes, go with the flow, I'm not afraid, I can always be at peace, then you are fooling yourself, giving yourself license, seeing yourself for what you are not. You are caught up in yourself, a self-notion, clinging to an ego idea, and lost in that self, you cannot hear the cry or see the tears of others. If you can overlook those tears, you are not a person of great peace of mind. Shakyamuni Buddha continued his practice without halting. He let go of everything. With total sacrifice to practice, he was able to see into ultimate reality. Ultimately. His determination as he sat under the Bodhi tree was total. And so, on the morning of December 8th, he experienced profound enlightenment. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. This is what he realized. He had begun to seek knowledge in order to save others. Everywhere he looked, he had seen agony and suffering. But now that he could see reality, he saw that all beings are, from the beginning, perfectly saved. Roots of roots of roots, perfectly saved. The true self is universal, absolute. living amongst those suffering multitudes. His own suffering had been unbearable. But now all basis for that suffering has disappeared. And that is because, again, all beings are Buddha. Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. All. No one is left out, unsaved, unliberated. No one. Together with all being, sentient and not. Sentient and not. Nothing is omitted. The grasses, the trees, the great earth, together attain the Buddha way. So all beings does not mean people only. The deeper one's understanding, the deeper the realization of their connectedness, the depth of truth is bottomless. One's connections, relation, interdependence is bottomless. Your interconnection is bottomless. A single weed in the field is perfect Buddha. How utterly one are all things. The grasses, the trees, the great earth, of course, the great skies. All being, is born in relation to all things. This is the true self. The perfect self. Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue. No matter what, no matter whether or not it takes form, whether or not it is seen, all is goodness. However, because of topsy-turvy perception, all beings fail to realize inherent Buddha nature. Now, here. Your reality is exactly the reality of Shakyamuni Buddha. Truth is universal and complete. Can you embrace and receive thoroughly this one truth? The Buddha showed us where to start. Original Buddha nature. Belief in original Buddha nature. Inherent perfect life. All beings are living just this life, but we are overlooking it, looking away from what is. And everyone is plagued by sticky leftovers, hanging on, I, me, mine. You are grasping a notion of self as if that notion that you hold on to is the master. You are on the journey to self-knowledge. You are walking the path of self-knowledge. And you are looking off, looking off, looking off. This is a habit born of countless lifetimes. But what about truth? Self and other are not two, not separate. No I separate from all beings, no all beings separate from I. When you can finally see, you will see that there always was something reliable, your own true self. Let go of self-cherishing. Throw away your evaluating and your judging. You might feel, what a waste. But it's all right to throw it all away, to relinquish it all. there is no need to grasp an idea of me. Cast off body and mind, forget about them. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha. Then all is well. You become a Buddha without effort or calculation. You, each and every one of you, is here because you have a deep karmic connection with truth, with the Buddha way. So please, please, don't waste even a moment. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha. Make up your mind to do it. All the Buddhas and great teachers are rooting for you. Good. Good. Add resolve upon resolve. You are supported. You are nurtured. You are cared for. Make up your mind. I will renounce self-clinging. Do you wonder if, is it really okay to do this? Can I do this? Is it possible for me to do this? Yes, yes, yes. All is well. First off, your belief. The roots of great belief. Your belief must be sound. Make up your mind to it. The more clever you are, the more the discriminating intellect scurries about, dividing and pocketing. So you must be like a fool, be like an idiot. Cast off body and mind. Forget about them. Be a fool for this practice, this one simple, clear practice that you have. This is exactly what Sesshin is about. Cast off body and mind, forget about them. Just practice as you have been shown. Stay with the one solitary practice. You know what you have to do. I, me, mine is the result of long lifetimes of ignorance, well accumulated. Yes, it is the working of discriminating mind, and yes, it is stubborn. But all is well, because the artificial, the contrived, cannot help but bow its head before truth. At the same time, nobody can do this for you. If you don't stick with this practice, you're only surrendering yourself to the fickle clutches of I, me, mine. This, not that. This, not that. And so you'll be continually led around in circles. You know how it's been to now. Up, down, up, down. What a piddling little thing that you make of yourself. And the day will come when you finally realize that death of this body will come. Only then it may well be too late. Gripped by regret, if you try to hastily, hurriedly see into truth, you may wind up only more confused and disoriented. For you cannot be hasty and try to get ahead of yourself. You may only indeed succeed in getting more lost and more bound in ignorance. You reap the seeds that are planted. Karmic inevitability is a fact. The straightforward truth does not suffer deception. So, do it now. Stay with this. One step. Soundly. Make this one step. All the great Buddhas and teachers dedicated themselves, gave their everything for the sake of all beings. Giving everything, letting everything go, grasping nothing, this is the only way. Even though you have to let go of stingy self-cherishing, look what happens. Rebirth. You come to life. Communication between Buddhas and sentient beings is just this. This. The real existence of in this world of all the Buddhas is just this. This. You have thrown yourself unsparingly into this sesshin, into this most bitter cold season, this February sesshin. The step that you are making is noble. So please, cultivate big, big mind. Let yourself be grand. That means simply do this one doing. There is only this one doing. Of course, even if you have had some glimmer of realization, do not linger anywhere. Do not grasp. Do not entertain anything. Just steadily, steadily be a blank white sheet of paper. Just this one doing. Chitante. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.